And open with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and I want to read verse 23. This is a verse of scripture that came real to me from a painting that somebody had given me, and I had it on my wall for years. I didn't really know what happened to it. But verse 23 says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." Verse 23, 24, Psalm 107. "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep." Now, if you carry on reading the passage, it talks about the fact that when the deep begins to move, because there's no stability out there, you know, a ship that's anchored in the harbor is not going to see any of this. When you get out into deep waters, suddenly you have to call on one greater. You can study it out and take whatever you wanted from it, but the Lord began to speak to me about encouraging people to come into the deep waters to do business with him, to see his wonders in the deep, to see his hand. This is not the time to anchor yourself in the dry dock. This is not the time to stay in the harbor. This is the time to launch out. This is where you're going to see the miraculous. This is where you're going to see God come through for you. This is where you're going to see the Lord begin to move in ways that you might have read what he did in other people's lives. You read about it in history. And you might say to yourself, "Is that only for that hour?" But I tell you, I got news for you. It is for this hour. But you can't see his wonders anchored in the docks. You can't see it. You're going to have to launch out into the deep and do business with God. Now, go with me to 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. "At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I'm your servant and that I have done all these things at your word.'" You think about this. You think about Elijah stepping out and doing what he was doing. You talk about being in a precarious place, because if God doesn't come through for you, you understand what I'm talking about. You have a showdown with the prophets of Baal. If God doesn't come through for you, you are in trouble. You see, too many in the church want to proclaim the wonders of the Lord and want to announce the wonders of the Lord, but they don't want to get out there and put themselves in the precarious situation of seeing the demonstration of what you can read about in Bible days and what you can read about in history, because they want to stay in their comfort zone. But it's only when you launch out into the deep and you put yourself in the precarious situations at the command of God, because someone said, "Well, God would not command me to launch out in the deep." Jesus told disciples, "Launch out in the deep. You're going to catch the biggest amount of fish when you launch out in the deep. Let down your nets." Yes. You won't catch the big amount of fish just hanging by the side of the bank. You catch some fish, but you won't catch the net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish. And so many times God's people want to play it safe. They want to calculate in their minds how they can do the work of God and do it in the natural. When the work of God, yes, it's involving the natural, but it's involving the supernatural. And when the supernatural's involved, then there's going to be risk involved. Risk. Because you're going to have to believe God told you to do it, to go step out, to go do it. And if He did tell you to do it, He will meet you at the place where He told you to go and do what He do. When you're doing what He told you to do, if you didn't hear from Him, you're going to fall flat on your face, and then you're going to look like an idiot, which nobody wants to look like an idiot. You've heard people say, well, I don't want to look like an idiot, but I never really have found out what an idiot looks like. Like, you never drive down the road and say, oh, there goes an idiot. Yeah, there's another idiot. The whole of the Word of God is full of what I'm talking about. Noah building an ark. That you talk about the ridiculous. But you're going to have to do the ridiculous in order to see the miraculous. Noah goes and builds an ark. Thank God he had faith for an ark and didn't build a canoe. You know, I'm of the opinion that if you're going to go down in history, then at least have it be the ship that you have is called the Titanic. 100 years from now, they can make a movie about you. Nobody ever made a movie of two guys in a canoe going down. So if you're going to fail, then fail big. Don't fail small. At the beginning of the year, the Lord told me to challenge our church. He said, tell the people. He said, tell them to ask largely. He said, to ask big. I'm not a God of the small. I'm a God of the big. Ask largely. He's waiting for you to ask. To cry out. Somebody said, but if I ask for something that's too big, no, the Holy Ghost will start to pray through you, and the Holy Ghost will begin to call out, and you begin to call out the heart of God. For John 15 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, it seems crazy that the God of heaven and earth would make what He does dependent upon mortal man on the earth. But He's looking for people that will cry out, that will allow the Holy Ghost. You see, it's working in partnership with the Spirit of God, where there's a stirring by the Holy Ghost, a stirring that comes to you in the night hour when God begins to speak to you upon your bed, when you wake up, when you drive down the road, and when you get on a plane and you fly, and the stirring that comes to you by the Holy Ghost, and God begins to speak to you about some things, and then you begin to say to the Lord, but these things are too big, God. These things are too big. Well, when I tell you to do something, son, that's big, that means I'm going to get involved in the manifestation of that thing that I told you. It will come to pass, because what I tell you, I do not lie, and I'm not going to fail in my promises. When God's word is yea and amen, what He said He will do, and His promises are true, and you can stand upon them. And down through the centuries and over the years, men and women have been raised up by God that have been able to go into the deep waters and do business with God. God wants you to come and do business with Him. Yes. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Yes. Come, argue me concerning the work of my hands. For I sought for a man to stand in the gap. God's looking for somebody that's going to step in there. And down through the years, you see that Abraham, God come in there, make a covenant with him. And then God does some crazy things where He says, now I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to a place that I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him there. And God used those words, take your son, your only son. And Abraham, a type of the Father God, took Isaac, a type of the son, and he went to Moriah, which is just a stone's throw from Calvary. And as he was about to kill his son, his only son, God saw that this man, this mortal man, was willing to take his son, his only son. It obligated God to then take his son, his only son, and sacrifice him. So God will test you. Yes. As he tested Abraham, God will test you to see what you're going to do. And many, somebody says, yeah, but he already knows what I'm going to do. Yeah, but you don't know what you're going to do. God will test you so that you can find out what you're going to do. Can God trust you with what he wants to do? Can he trust you with what he wants to put in your hands? Can he trust you with what he wants to put through your life? Do you just say, oh, Lord, I don't think you can trust me, and walk away? Or you like the kid, he says to his dad, can I borrow the key? Can I borrow the car? And dad says, well, when are you going to have it back? My dad was like that with me. And let me tell you, you didn't play with dad. So, dad, can I borrow the car? Well, what time are you going to be home? 10 o'clock. I'm telling you, 9:59. My hand was on the front door of the house opening, and my dad was standing right there. And his hand was like this. I put the keys of the car in his hand, and he just nodded and went off. There was no 5 minutes late. We stopped for pizza. Why? Because I wanted him to see that he could trust me with it. So can God trust you with what he's going to do? Because a lot of you are asking God for things, but can the Lord really trust you with it, that you're not going to do something crazy? You're not going to run off and leave your wife and run off and do some stupid thing. I'm just using that as an example. Everybody looks nervous. And I mean, it goes on. You can go through the Word of God. Even David, who was faithful to take out the lion and take out the bear. And God could take him on to take out the giant. See, you could say, well, I took the lion out, took the bear, to find somebody else. But there's some things that God is wanting to do through the church in this hour that's going to require the people of God to go into some very deep waters. And some might not even return from those deep waters. In other words, it might cost them their very life. Which that doesn't matter anyway, because then you're already on the other side. Yeah. Mission accomplished. Yeah. People say to me, oh, you don't want to do that. Don't go there. You know, you could die. I said, then I get to go to heaven. They don't trust me. They don't want me in heaven right now. Trust me, I'm a handful just on the earth. They don't want me in heaven right now. Seriously? Seriously, they don't want me in heaven right now. I haven't expended myself on the earth. They don't want me in heaven right now. See, I do business with God. I mean, if I got to heaven right now, I would be so beside myself to see Jesus. But then after about a few minutes, I said, can we just have a talk here just for a few moments, please, just before we get on with this thing. What was all that about? Seriously? What was all that about on the earth that I felt under the Holy Ghost? What was that? Was that just a carrot dangled in front of me? You mean I was feeling things that were going to happen through us in this end time and it wasn't going to happen? And then the Lord's going to look at me and say, now, Rodney, come over here now. Now just calm down. You need to calm down, son. You went around the world and you exaggerated. You exaggerated how big I was, and I wasn't that big, son. No, I'm just trying to get into religious minds because people think that they downplay God. You know, they downplay God. What do you think the Lord's going to tell me? He's going to say, son, you exaggerate. You told the people how big I was, how powerful I was, how awesome I was. And I am that, but not like you said. If anything, the Lord will say, you didn't tell it all. You only told the little bit. Many a night said I leave the platform and I feel that I wasn't able to share with the people the full weight and the full gravity of what it's really all about. Because it's bigger than anything that I can even describe in the English language. But I hear the Lord saying, come on now, come out into the deep. Come do some business with me. You're going to see my wonders in the deep. You're going to do business in deep waters. Come on. Come on. God didn't put you here just to survive. God didn't put you here just to have a house and a car. And 2.5 kids and a dog. You know, they talk about the American dream. I think 2.5 kids. Well, I never saw half a kid. But God didn't put you here just for that. God didn't put you here so you can get wrapped up in education for the first 20-something plus years of your life. And then for the next 20, 30 years of your life, you get everything you can. And then the next 20 years of your life, you get rid of everything you can. That is not the reason he put you here on this planet. When you're young, you want the big house. When you get old, you want the smaller house. So why don't just get the small house? That's what you're going to end up with anyway. Just get the small house. Get one room. Put the kids on bunks. Because they're going to leave you anyway. They're all going to leave you anyway. So just put them on bunks in a room and stay in the small house because that's where you're going to downsize to anyway. So why don't you just downsize up front? I meet people that have had everything. We're getting rid of everything. What do? We're downsizing. Some people do it when they're 50. Some people, they're 85. They're downsizing like art. What was I thinking? First of all, this earth is not your home. You're passing through. We're strangers. In a foreign land. We don't fit in. I don't. I'm an oddity. We're just passing through. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. For were not so, I would have told you. Go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But we are here for God's eternal purposes. We are here so that through our lives, the Lord can do his works. Each one uniquely chosen by Him. Each one handpicked by Him for a work to be done by Him, through Him. And the books are to be written. The devil doesn't control your destiny. God controls your destiny. But you as an individual can go before the God of heaven and earth and do business with Him and transact with Him and work out a deal with Him. That's totally unique to you. Got nothing to do with anybody else. Nothing to do with anybody else. They wouldn't even understand it because they weren't there when the contract was signed. Because He hears the cries of His people. If He heard me all those years ago in Africa crying out because I knew that God had called me, even from a young age, in the age of five, as I would line my bearers up and lay hands on them and preach to them, and they'd all fall under the power of God. And I would then hand the service to my little brother who was 3 years old, and I would tell my brother and the bearers that I was going to America. I was 5 years old, so I'm going to America to preach. And I would go and jump on the bed and open the window and go into the backyard. That was America. And I'd be in the backyard for about 10 minutes, and then I'd climb back through the window and take away the microphone, which was a hairbrush, from my brother, and take over the service. Just take over the meeting again to tell my brother and the bears what great things the Lord had done in America. I'm five. In Africa. Those bears were baptized in water. Those bears did not like water. That some of them were made out of straw. The eye would fall off, the ear would fall off, but then we'd look at each other and they needed to have a miracle. These bears needed to be healed. And my mother, of course, would grab them and sew the eye back on in the ear, and we testify what a great miracle this bear got his eyesight back, his ear. No, but picture this, a five-year-old boy playing with bears. They stacked up and I'm preaching to the bears. And I'm telling them I'm going to America. A five-year-old boy in Africa. Where's that come from? Where's that come from? What's that? What is that? There are things inside of you that were placed there by God. Even before you were born, whether you only got saved later on, there were things placed in there by God that is a heavenly DNA according to the plan and purpose of God for your life.
Amen.
And some have never gone in and negotiated anything. I mean, they pray, they love the Lord, they read the Bible, they come to church, they give tithes and offering, but they've never gone in and they've never said, Lord, I need to speak to you now. We need to talk now. Now, I pray differently than a lot of people, let me tell you, because I just do. I cannot. I'm not the type of person that can just give flowery words when I'm feeling something different. Like, you know, I watch people, you know, they be like fighting a battle on the inside, and they're going to pray, Fathers, we're gathered today, now we pray, O Lord. Meanwhile, that's not what they feel. That's not how they feel. I pray what I feel. So when I pray, I go, what in the world is happening? You know. Because that's the way I feel. I mean, I'm going to talk to the Lord. He's not offended by me praying that way. But He wants to hear from you. Remember, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer coming out of the desire placed in you by the Spirit of God. ask of me and I give you the heathen for your inheritance. I give you the nations. Ask of me and I give you the nations. God has placed nations on the inside of people sitting in this room tonight. God has put nations on the inside of you. But let me tell you, it's not going to be plain sailing up the side. Just because God's put the divine DNA of heaven for his blueprint, for his plan, that the devil's going to say, oh, yeah, we knew you were coming. Come on, go right on. Plunder. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I speak to more people today that, and they'll tell me, said, look, we just decided to take the easy route because the moment we moved in the direction that God was telling us, all hell broke loose. Uh-huh. How many times have you heard people say that? Oh, yeah. They said after a while, we're so punch drunk, we don't even know which side's up. We just decided to take the line of least resistance, and that's why we're over here. We're not under any attack. We do love the Lord, but we just can't get into it. Because we've tried it several times, and the moment we do, then all hell breaks loose. And you'll be surprised how many people are doing just that. But that's why the Bible even tells you that you take the prophecies and you war the warfare with it. See, you remind the enemy, whoa, whoa, whoa. Back off. God told me to come down here. The Lord said he would be with me. And I'm not backing off of this assignment. I'm not backing off of what God has told me to do. Because I hear this in the night hours. I hear when I lie upon my bed. I hear when I wake up in the morning time. And I'm going with what I hear. I believe that there's going to be a speeding up of what God's about to do, where some of you will see more happen in the next 5 years than in the previous 10, 20, 30, and even 40 years gone by. So great will be the acceleration of what God does through your life. I want to challenge you tonight. I mean, you can pray. We have prayer meetings in our church. I know this church prays. We just had an all-night prayer meeting last Friday. Prayed right through the night. Hundreds of people praying. I think there was still like 300 people at 6 o'clock in the morning praying. It's not bad when you can get a group of people still praying at 6 in the morning. They prayed right through the night. There's nothing wrong with public prayer, but that private prayer where you and the Lord and you do business with God. So I have people come to me all the time and criticize me. You know what I do? I just smile at them and say, well, you obviously weren't there when me and the Lord talked this out. Otherwise, you'd shut up. Yeah. You obviously weren't there when we discussed all this.
That's good. That's good.
So I'm gonna forgive you. Because you weren't there. You were not there in that place. Is this helping anybody here tonight? That's why God doesn't want you to back off. God wants you to ask big. He's a God of the big,
yes.
Not a God of the small.
That's right.
Ask largely. Now, go with me to Luke 18, and I'll kind of use this to wrap whatever I'm wrapping up here tonight, and we'll carry on in the morning time. But go with me to Luke 18, if you would, please. This is very powerful. I love this passage. Luke 18 and verse 1. Now Jesus told them a parable to the effect, and I'm reading out the Amplified. He said that men ought always to pray and not turn coward. Don't turn coward, the Amplified says. Don't become a chicken. Don't become a chicken. Don't faint, don't lose heart, and give up. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Yes. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected and considered man. And there was a widow in that city that kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend me and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence nor fear for God, the God was honest at least, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming. Or at last she might come and rail on me, insult me, and strangle me. And the Lord says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones? Watch this now. Who cry to him day and night? See, when the cry of the Spirit is on you, it's there all the time. The cry of the Spirit has never left me, ever. And the cry of the Spirit is always the same. I mean, the seasons are come and gone, the years are come and gone, but there's still that cry on the inside. You don't have to prod too hard to find it. You take a sharp object and stick it into me and it'll come out. America, Great Awakening,
yes.
The harvest, souls,
yes.
Last days, the funds for the end time harvest being released. It'll just come out. It's there. I don't have to go find notes on what's inside. I don't have to go, where are those notes? There were some thoughts that I had 15 years ago. No, they're there. The same on the inside of you. You just have to release it. And some of you, it's never come out of your mouth. The cry of heaven that God's actually placed on the inside of you has never ever come out of your mouth. It's never ever been heard from your lips. You've thought it, you've mulled it over, it's gone on in your spirit, but you have never really gone and articulated with God in a you and the Lord together. You've never done it for whatever reason. Whenever you go to God and pray, you do the religious thing. You pray the nice prayer. But you've never prayed the cry. You've never prayed the cry. There's a cry of the Spirit of God. He wants to cry through you. He wants to speak through you. You're not praying some ludicrous, crazy prayer. You're praying, heaven is praying through you. Heaven is crying out through you. Why did God do it that way? For whatever reason, he put himself subject to mortal men concerning things that he would do on the earth. He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And how many know the negotiations he got into? There'd be 50, there'd be 45, 40, there'd be 5 righteous. You know, I mean, the whole negotiation. Then go look at Moses negotiating over the children of Israel. Take me out. Take my name out. I wish somehow that I could get you and find the cry of the Spirit of God in you and release it. Oh. The day that we release the cry of the Spirit of God that He's already placed, it's already there. It's already there. Some of you, God's put some big things on the inside of you, but because it's going to cost too much money, you back right off and forgot about it, and you thought, we can never do that. So instead of just crying it out, speaking it out of your spirit, God's going to do it through you. You're going to need His help anyway. Why would you want God to do something that you don't need His involvement? Lord, I could do this. I got this done. I can do this with my eyes closed. You don't need God. You don't need God's involvement. When you get in the deep waters and the waves are coming over the side, you start praying. Will this voyage even last? Will we even make? Go read the rest of that passage of Scripture. So Jesus is talking about the unjust judge. So He's saying here, I tell you, He will defend and protect and avenge Him speedily. Those who cry out to Him day and night, will He defer them and delay help on their behalf? You know, I've been pastoring now 15 years. If I know a member of my church is going home, the Lord shows me they're going home, I go see them. Say, now listen. And I talked about heaven and whatever and pray with them, you know. And I say, but I want you to do something. When you get up there, I want you to go and talk to this one, that one, this one. And go find out what the heck is going on. You know what I mean? I said, now you're going to get to heaven. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to forget about it. I said, but you promised your pastor you're going to do it. I promise you. Well, tell him. Somebody said, well, you could pray that down here. I said, yeah, but, you know, I can trouble from the earth as well. How many think if I suddenly went to heaven, I wouldn't be negotiating some things on behalf of some things? You better, are you kidding me? I said, Lord, 2 minutes. Can we just talk about this other thing over here? And this person over there now. I was praying for a family that had gone astray. I was crying out, for about 3 months in intercession, about 18 hours a day, just crying out for this thing. I told the Lord, I'm driving down the road in the car. I said, I don't care what you have to do. If you got to move some solar systems, whatever you have to do. listen, Hubble Space Telescope has found now and probed the deep realms of space. Before 1950, we could only see to the edge of our solar system. They could see up to 100 billion light years away. And further, with the Hubble telescope, they say that at 100 billion years, I believe it's 100 billion, but it doesn't matter, it's so many billions of years, whether it's 10 billion or 100 billion, they say is the most largest structures of the universe. They call it Sloan's Great Wall of Galaxies at 100 billion years. That's my father. Now you want me to go into the throne room of grace and just talk a little small talk? Or we're going to talk some big stuff. And we're going to ask big. And we're going to talk. And we're going to do some business with God. Amen. Amen. You think He's offended by anything that you're going to come to Him with? Absolutely not. He's wanting you to come. Come on. Come on. You down there in Fort Worth. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come before my throne. Come in the name that I've given you. Come on. Let's talk. Let's work some things out. I call it working something out by divine contract. Just you and God. Nobody else can do it for you. Somebody said, can you pray for me? I can pray. But then what about you? You need to work it out with them. You need to work it out with them. There's some things God wants to do with you in your city. Yes. There's some things God wants to do with you in your nation that might be totally different to anything that's going on. And you talk about persecution. You ain't seen persecution until you start doing what God has told you to do. That's when all hell breaks loose. Because the enemy knows that if you ever press through, he's done. Whatever he had planned for your life is broken. Whatever he had designed to stop you from fulfilling the purpose and plan of God for your life is broken. Sure, he'll come against you and he'll still be around, but he will not have the sway over you that he's had. And you will break through. And because of your obedience and breaking through, thousands upon thousands, if not millions of people will be broken through because of your obedience. Because you paid the price. Somebody said, yeah, but Jesus paid the price. Yeah, but you haven't. Somebody said, yeah, but Jesus paid the price on Calvary. It's already paid. Yes, but you haven't. You're still sitting glued to your television. You're still hung up with the natural. You watch TV if you want to, but I'm just telling you. There's some things that God wants to do that's unique. That's going to happen through your life. But you're going to have to get real with it, and you're going to have to get serious with it. And it might cost you some friends. You might have to walk a lone path. You might have to choose a path. But choose wisely. And don't take the easy way. Don't take the broad way. Take the narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that find it. Narrow is the way, constricted by pressure, is the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Narrow is the way, constricted. Squeeze yourself through that narrow way. Actual fact, the only way through is on your face. That's how narrow this is. So Jesus says here, I tell you, he will defend and protect them and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Persistence. Yea, in, yea, out. Persistence. I will not let go of it. No, I'm not going to let go of the promise of God. No, I'm not going to let go of the word of the Lord. No, the devil's not going to have this land. No, the devil's not going to have America. No, we're going to see another great awakening. I don't care what they say. Absolutely not. I only care what the Lord says. And I'm going to keep speaking it. They can put it on my tombstone. And of course, when I get to heaven, if I hadn't seen it, I'll say, what was all that about? Just for 2 minutes, can you tell me what all that was about on the earth? Once I have the answer, I'll be happy. But can you explain to me what that was, what I felt? Does it make sense what I'm talking to you about? How many have some things stirring on the inside of you, but you don't want to vocalize them because they're so big? And you don't want anybody to think that you've lost your marbles. Anybody in this room, wave your hand at me right now. Persistence. Persistent faith. When I was a little boy, I was a tiny guy. And I always ended up in trouble because I walk in, I hated bullies. Whenever I saw anybody being bullied, I'd go and tell the guy, he's 2 foot taller than me. And leave him alone. Then I get smacked. And I always used to go home from school wondering, how did I get in the fight? All I did was I went in and pleaded on some small person's behalf. And I was small too. But I just couldn't stand it. Anytime I see somebody bullied or whatever, then I get right in the middle of it. What are you doing? Leave him alone. And then they leave him, pick on me. And I remember, I'll never forget this. This guy, much bigger than me, he was probably too great to hit me, grabbed my arm and he stuck it behind my back. And he started to twist it. And he wanted me to say certain things, which would mean he was king or whatever. And I just hit him. I said, you can break my arm. You can twist it off. You can pull it off my body. I will never say anything. And listen, I thought he was getting hurt. He twisted my arm. I thought he was going to break it off. I never backed off one little bit. Not one. Never swayed off. In the end, he let me go because he couldn't get anything out of me. I would not quit.
That's right.
I would not quit. You cannot give up. God is depending on you. Millions of people that are lost in darkness are depending upon you. You've got to overcome. You've got to overcome the flesh. You've got to overcome the obstacles in your way.
Yes.
You can't back off. You can't take the line of least resistance. You can't just go to the comfortable place. There is a place of rest,
yes,
even down here in the spirit. But there is an eternal rest. Down here, you must fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. You must obey the Holy Ghost. You must listen to the heavenly vision, the heavenly dream that God has for your life, not man's dream. How can you hire some agency to come and tell you what you should be doing? How can you pay money to another group of people to come and tell you what you should be doing with your ministry? They don't even know you. But the more dollars you throw at them, suddenly the more creative they get. How in the world can they come and make you? But the hand of God will make you. The firebrand of heaven will burn on the inside of you. I had one guy come to me, well-known in America, said, we need to rebrand you. I laughed. Going to rebrand me. How can you rebrand something that's already branded? And I know what he wanted to do. I know he wanted to take my ministry and tweak it and remove the joy and remove the power of God, the display of the power of God, take that out of the services to make me acceptable in more of a mainstream Christianity. Can you imagine me in that context? No. Could you imagine me in that context? Even if I tried, I'd be in one service trying to fit into that context. Suddenly I'd feel that. On the inside, I go, and they go, no, he's doing it. He's ruining it. He's ruining it. We're just getting the branding right. He's ruining it. He's reverting back. He's left the pulpit. He should stay up there, stay behind the podium. He's walking down. His hand is moving now. He's gonna lay it on somebody's head. Ah, he's gonna cast that devil out. We were counseling that devil. We've been counseling them for weeks, and he's gonna cast it out. He's gonna ruin our counselor's job. (Clears throat) God doesn't want you to be anybody else. You don't need to be anybody else. Stop trying to be somebody else. Last time I checked, they were all taken. Just be you. Just be you. You be you. I be me. How many would say with the uplifted hand tonight, say, I've got a cry on the inside of me that has not really been sounded out of me. I have maybe over the years once or twice, but I have not sounded that cry. It's time. Pastors in your pulpit, start to sound the cry. Start to sound it in your preaching. Start to sound it in your teaching. Start to sound it coming out of your mouth. Why? Because the cry will get in the people. The cry of the Holy Ghost will come from you and get in the people. And it might be a year too. They'll have the same cry as you. Why? Because they're picking up the same cry of heaven, except it'll be unique on the inside of them. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost all over this place tonight. I can't cry for you. I can't do your business for you. You have to do your business yourself. I can't do it. I can pray for you, but I can't work the deal out with you and God. And the Lord's actually waiting to hear from you. There's nothing that really irritates me more. And the kids still do it, even at this age. Now, I mean, because Kelly's in heaven. Kenneth is 25. I mean, he's married. And Kirsty, you know, what's she now, 29? Married, three kids, you know. And they'll still try to slide things through their mother to get to me. The other day, Kenneth would come to my wife to talk to me about it. I said, no, absolutely not. You tell him to come see me. We come through you. I want to hear from him myself. They still do it. They still do it. God doesn't want to hear through somebody else about you. God is wanting to hear from you, through you, through the same mouth that talks on the cell phone. I want you to think on these. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to pick up on this, and we're going to go in deeper into this whole thing, because I really feel coming out of what God's doing here. I've not been here. I just showed up. So I don't even know what people have been sharing here. I just come to deliver what the Lord placed on my heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But this is more to do with the next months. And this next year, what God wants to do through your life. Because you came to this conference. You came here for a reason. But it's not just to hear. It's so that God can do through you what His plan is for you. And it'll come quicker. There won't be a delay. There won't be a delay. You see, once you've worked this thing out, then you'll walk it out. You work it out inside, then you walk it out. There will be opposition, but you'll stand and you'll speak. You'll declare the word of the Lord. And great and mighty things are going to happen. Hallelujah. 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 Persistent faith. Persistent faith. Heaven knows. Heaven knows. Even my daughter Kelly's up there. 9 years now. She probably says, Dad's working again. I don't know how many times they've tried to set the final table for the marriage supper of the Lamb. About to tell Gabriel to blow the trumpet and go, stop. They just got another 1,000 souls saved. Get more tables out. Somebody said, why? Because there's more souls that need to be saved. Somebody said, don't you want Jesus to come right now? No, I've got some life to live here still. I'd like to smack it for another 40 years if I can. because there's millions upon tens of millions of people that have never heard the gospel. I want to look back in eternity and know that I did everything I could with my life. And then ask the Lord to come bail me out and take me out of the mess. But that I was an irritant to the enemy. I was a troublemaker to the plan of the enemy.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to look back 100 years from tonight and say, we did it. We smacked it up the side of the head. We didn't play safe. I don't want to sit there with regrets. I don't want to get there and see Stephen, a man full of faith for the Holy Ghost. He died, was stoned. I don't want to go and see Stephen and say, Stephen, my hero, you loved him more than me. You loved him more than me because you were ready to die for him. And I was nervous. I was afraid. I look at Stephen and say, yes, you inspired me, but you could never love him more than I do. We loved him the same. You could never love Jesus more than me. We loved him the same. And I loved him the same as you did for your generation. I loved him for my generation. That's what I'm talking about. People will call you crazy. People will call you radical. But they weren't there when you worked out the contract with God. And in eternity, it doesn't really matter anyway. Because all you really want to hear him say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Do you realize what hour we're living in? The prophets of old would have given anything to have lived in this day and this hour. They didn't even have the word that we have. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost indwelling. They didn't even have a heavenly language. They didn't even have a name that's above every name. That name, Jesus. They didn't have that. Do you realize what you have? Oh, how we take for granted. Oh, how we take for granted the holy, eternal things of God. I want everybody to bow your heads because I don't know when to stop this. I can't. Even if I took you in the back room and we'd talk for 2-3 hours, it'd still be the same. The only difference between now and then is I got a microphone now. Somebody said, calm down. No, I'm not going to calm down. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to vocalize the cry of what I feel in my spirit. It's not my problem, it's God's problem. I couldn't have come up with this anyway. I couldn't even have thought these things up. It's what I hear the Spirit saying. God wants to do a quick work. For the remainder of 2012, this month of May, in June, July. There's some things in the natural I could talk to you about, I'm not. There's very precarious things happening in the nations and even in this one. Many Americans don't even know, and many people are not even ready for what's coming. And many pastors are not ready, and neither church is ready. There will be mega churches that will empty overnight. Because they've never taught the people to walk by faith and trust God and believe God, and they don't even know how to pray. They have little one hour, or even 90-minute services, run in and out. They slam them in like a bunch of cattle, and they run them through, inoculate them. Those people will fall. They do not have the spiritual fortitude to make it in what's coming. There's a night hour that is coming, and only those that are strong in things of heaven, only those that know their God are going to do exploits in His name. But this is not an hour to draw back. This is a great hour. I'm so happy we live in 2012. I'm so glad the Lord reserved this hour for me to live in. I'm so glad I didn't live in the year 1620. And you are here for a reason. You're not here by accident. And you hear by God's divine purpose. In the time that we have together, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, come on, let's do some business with God. And then we go out and effect the outworking of it. Back in your town, back in your city, back in your church, back in your village, back in your nation, back in your county, back in your state, back in your region. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Tonight, I always do this in every one of the meetings. I need to do it tonight because I believe God is speaking to people's hearts tonight. But if you're in this place and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you tonight. Maybe you walked in here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Friend, let me ask you a question. If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. The power of sin and guilt and shame will be removed from your life. And tonight you're going to be set free and changed forever. He loves you. He stands with arms wide open. He says, come. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's time to come in from the world. Come in from the life of self and sin. Come in from the cold. That ark of salvation is there. The gangplank is down. You can come running tonight. He's calling you. There's room at the cross for you. He's calling you. Will you surrender your life to Him tonight? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord and my Savior? I give you my life tonight. I take all of you. Will you take all of me? Surrender to Him. Maybe you're in this place tonight, and once upon a time you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost your joy, your peace. Maybe it's something that's hidden. No one knows. Your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. Your parents don't know. Your children don't know. Your pastor doesn't know. The hidden things of the heart. When it starts with pride and unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, hidden things. Will you let go of those things tonight? Maybe it's an outward thing, something the enemy tripped you up in, and you can't even get out of it now. Other people know about it, and they use it against you. And you have guilt and shame in these realms. It's time to get free tonight of that once and for all. Maybe it's not something hidden. Maybe it's not something outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. And God's calling you tonight to come. He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you surrender afresh to Him? This is not the time to be lukewarm. This is the time to be on fire for God. And then lastly, if you've come at this place and you love the Lord with all your heart, but the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved, but tonight you want to make sure. You want to make sure. You want to know that you know that you know you're a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you please, right where you are, put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me right now. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Hands are going up all around the building. Just raise up high, quickly. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Don't delay. You put your hands down. I want you to look at me right now, please. Look at me in this section. You did not raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer. I'm going to pray right now, quickly. Just slip your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else? This section, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Thank you. Anybody else? This section, you didn't raise your hand, want to be included. Put your hand up right at the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Slip it up higher. This section, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Say, include me. Thank you. I want everyone that raised your hand to stand all across the building. Stand right now. Everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet. All across the building, everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet right now. I want you to step out of your seat and come stand around the altar. Don't spread out. I want you to come stand as close to the middle as you can. Come, we're going to pray. Come. He's calling you now. Tonight is your night of freedom.
He loves you and me.
A new beginning, a new day.
He gave
this way, in the middle, guys.
What more could He give?
Come on down.
Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
You're right. Listen to me. Listen to me. Some people, when they come to the meetings, they wonder how. They said, I've had people come to me and say, we don't understand how come people respond at the altar call. I say, because it's the cry. It's not just something we do. Because I can remember when I had 10 people at the meeting. I can remember when I had 10 people at the meeting, give an altar call, one person come home, come to the Lord. And I drive away and I dream of the day when the altars would be filled. I drive down the road, Brother Richard. I drive down the road and I take an altar call. Just driving down the road. That tree, I see that hand right now, that street light right there. I pretend that the whole place was altar call. There'd be 10 people in the meeting. I close my eyes, I see a stadium. I open my eyes, there's 10 people. And then I drive and I'd pretend I was in a meeting. I'd say, and the people are coming from the balcony. There's nobody. But it was the cry. When the cry in you to get people healed is bigger than the cry in you to let people be sick, you'll get people healed. When the cry in you is to get people saved, you'll see people saved. The cry will be so strong in you that even people that are saved in the ministry will have to hold under their seat. I've had people say, man, my God, that altar call, I felt, I've been saved for years. I nearly went. But it had nothing to do with me. It was the call of heaven. You could feel the call of heaven. Now we're going to pray with them. We're going to lead them to the Lord. I want to say this to you because the Lord showed me something about His love that literally blew me away. Beck, just one second. I want you to listen to this. If you think about us as human beings, let's say Brother Richard Moore, Evangelist Richard Moore, he and I have been friends from 1998 when I first came to the country. We're friends. I love him. He loves me. Travels around the world. He's based out of Tampa, out of our church. But let's say that somebody comes to tell me something he's done. Whatever. He hasn't done anything, but let's say they come and tell me something that he's done is a terrible thing. And then suddenly I back off from him. I can't deal with it. I back away from him. And the Lord spoke to me about this. And the Lord said to me, why do people back away from somebody when something goes wrong? So I'm talking to the Lord. We're just talking. I said, Lord, because they're ashamed of what the person's done. And the Lord said to me, why are they ashamed? Why are you ashamed because of what somebody else has done? And then he told me why I'm ashamed. He said, you're ashamed because of your shame. Because if you have no shame, you cannot be ashamed. God has no shame. That's why he's not ashamed of us. That's why God's not ashamed to show up in the worst pub in Fort Worth right now and deal with somebody, because God has no shame. Are you with me? The love of God has absolutely no shame attached to it. But after the death of an individual, the judgment of God has no mercy attached to it. So while people are living, the mercy and the grace is extended towards them, and no shame. But it's appointed on men to die, and after that, the judgment. And then there'll be no mercy, there'll be no nothing. It's over, it's finished, it's done. Only judgment now will follow. You think about that. You watch people pull away from people. Why? Because it's really they're dealing with shame in their own self. You don't even know what that is. But God has no shame. When the Lord revealed it to me, I was sitting with somebody and I was dealing with them and I was weeping. And I said to them, there's nothing you can do that will make me ashamed of you. I was just weeping. They were weeping. And the Lord said, that's how I am. I'm not ashamed. And I know you can't even use this terminology because it sounds wrong to say that God's shameless. Because shameless is a bad connotation. We say that person's shameless. But God has no shame. His love has no shame. Because his love does not withdraw or recoil or pull back. His love is limitless. I mean, when the Lord showed me, I wept for hours. I mean, in actual fact, for several weeks, I was still weeping about the greatness of the love of God. How much he loves us. It's beyond description, beyond words in English language to even put it down on pen. If the whole ocean were ink, and the sky was a parchment and we could write the love of God, we would drain the ocean and still not even tell the story of how great his love and mercy is. I want you to look at me tonight. We're going to pray a prayer. One prayer fits all. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. And we're going to pray right now. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And I want you to pray this. Believe it in your heart and say it out of your mouth. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I will be saved. So Father, right now,
I confess
Jesus is my Lord and
my Savior.
Come into my heart right now.
Take out the stony heart.
Put a heart of flesh.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Change me.
Fill me.
Use me.
Let me never be the same again.
I turn my back on the world.
I turn my back on sin.
And I follow you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for
shedding your blood for me.
Thank you
that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this night on,
I'll never be
the same again.
I confess.
Jesus Christ
has come in the flesh.
He is
my Lord
and my Savior. And right now,
by faith,
in the finished work of the cross,
and by the shed blood of Jesus,
I receive the free gift of salvation. I'm born again. I'm saved. Thank you, Lord,
for saving me tonight.
Now lift both hands to heaven and just thank Him right now.
Thank you.